Lord, thanks for the blessing that is Watto, the big man with a big heart, and you designed him that way, Lord, and you are impressed with what you've done. Lord, lucky he's not any bigger, I wouldn't be able to reach up to his shoulder. But Lord, thank you that he's come down here for these last few years and supported by some outstanding people from up his shed. He's had some great teaching for us, but the greatest thing is just the honesty, the encouragement that this man brings to us. And what you're doing through him, Lord, is replicating him all over Australia. And that can't be anything other than a good thing. Lord, we thank and praise you for this man. And Lord, we take his encouragement so that we can step up just as he has. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Your words, not his. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
God bless, mate.
Okay, good. Selwyn, take it away.
Guys, this morning I was humbled, really humbled. I woke up worried about the desperation in my life and what's going on with it and how I'm going to deal with it. I come to bed at Blake's because I get the encouragement and I go home feeling that there's a reason to keep on going. But sometimes, even as an older man, compared to this young man, we were here this morning and I do this for a living. So to play a saxophone really to me is not really hard. But, you know, what I should be doing is being more encouraging towards people that are inspiring or aspiring to be able to do that. We all came in this morning and I was feeling really, really shitty. What I should have been doing was thinking about him and not me. And I should have been encouraging him. And a poor young fellow sat down because I wasn't really assisting in him to come up here to, not entertain, to play God's music for you guys. It really hurt me. So I had some encouragement from some other people, Brenton. And I went out and talked to Will and asked for his forgiveness. And through that I found out some of the hard things that have been going on in this young man's life. That really humbled me because through all my despair, there's got to be a time that I think for my brothers and want to be there for them. And for the rest of this weekend, he is going to be up here and it doesn't matter what happens, but he is a part of this. Now, have you thought about that today, this afternoon, while you guys were working? I came up with a little something that's going to put him and I even closer together than what we are now. And we're going to play a song from Requiem. It's called P.I. Zaju. I think that's how you say it. And it's beautiful. And this young fellow is going to bring tears to your eyes when you hear him and me play this. But thank you, Will, for humbling me, bring me down to earth and to realise that we all have problems in life and regardless of age, we need to stick together and look after each other.
Life is good, isn't it? Isn't it good? What a moment. What a moment. When you'll treasure this for the rest of your life, and these are moments, all you young blokes, you know. This man over here. Ryan, yeah, how many years, Ryan, you and I have been here? 3 years, yeah. Yeah, Stevie Kramer gave me a call from Horsham, gave me a call, didn't know him. Now he's my brother. How you going, mate? How are you going, mate? You all right? Your heart all right? You're a champion? Feel good? You're in company. You're in the company. You're in the company of the kings. You get champion beside you, both sides, all around you. You got champions all around you. And just enjoy the moment. 10 years, fellas, I've had the privilege of doing the shed night. 24 years with my truck school, men all the time, men coming into my life. I've always loved, God's put a passion on my heart for men. I did my 2 years army, taught me a lot about men. I was always the captain of the footy team. I was always the president of the PNL, the past students and all those things, all my life. I knew I was a leader, but I wasn't game to say I was a leader because you didn't do that in Australia. But any of you blokes here now, Charles, if you're a leader, we men are behind you and we don't want you to hide. that if God's put leadership in you, we want you to lead. We've held back too many of our men. The journey's good. The journey's great. Isn't it great to have PJ here and tell us stuff? It's just brilliant. Every man here has got something inside him. It's absolutely brilliant in different fields. Champions. We're absolute champions. Who's got the champion shirt on? Where is it? Who is he? Stand up, champ. Where's the name tag?
Oh, it's on my jacket. Braden.
Braden. How do you feel with that champion shirt on, Braden?
I feel like a champion.
I'm rubbing shoulders with a champion. Braden, say your full name.
Braden Mark Kennedy.
And you are a champion, son of the king. Don't let anyone take that away from you. Okay? You're a special man. God bless you. Okay, for me, tonight is about the journey. The journey, I'm getting old enough to now to look and say, well, what can I pass on to my fellow man? Yes, I can pass on a few things. I can pass on some, tips in how to do life, how to face the battles. And for me, the most important thing that God shone on me right up until it's taken a lot of years to know this is that he's number one. He's number one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind. Just get it into you right now. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind. Just get it into you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind. That's number one. If you've got trouble with number two, go back to number one. If you've got trouble with number three, go back to number one first. We've been sold a lie in my lifetime that we didn't know about putting him number one because we couldn't get over the hurdle of love. We couldn't get over all the heart part. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. We do the mind part pretty good, but we haven't done the heart part. For a year now, God's put on my heart that the men of Australia, our hearts have been locked up and we're hidden away, and all we've done is love in our heads. And that's stopping, because everywhere I go in this beautiful country, I see God transforming hearts of men. And there's a bloke there, little Dazzler. 3 years ago, this little champion was sitting here feeling like an absolute no one and a no one. And if you've ever want to know what God can do in the life of a man, he just got this man, and Dazzler asked him to give him a new heart, and he's got a new heart. If any blokes here have got any problems with loving God with all their heart, this bloke knows that first, love it with all his heart, because his head's wrecked him for a long time, and it ain't going to rob you ever again, Dazzler, is it? Okay, so the heart. So God first, absolutely. No matter what we do, no matter what we learn from this day on, for the rest of your life, if you come back to number one, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. We're good at obeying and making rules, at loving with our heads, and it's an obedience thing. But when we want to get to love with our hearts, where we've got to have some emotion and passion and feeling. And my God says that it's okay for me to have passion, emotion and feeling, and I'm never going to hide it again, and I don't want to see any of you blokes hide it ever. You can't love without passion and emotion and feeling. Why have we robbed ourselves and our women and our kids from passion, emotion and feeling? Because we're loving in our heads. We're not going to let the deceiver rob us of that ever again. So number one again, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your right. Number one. So to do that, our hearts have got to be alive. And tonight is a night when we go up to the dinner there tonight. If God talks to you in anything that I say, then you hold on. If you only hear one thing that you need to know, that you need to get back and tick in with him on, you tick in with that. And before you get on the bus to go, you're going to make a big decision of what you come down here for. If you come down here for a good time, that's good, because we Aussie blokes like a good time. But we've got a God who likes us to have a good time. And he can handle anything that we want to dish up to him. And we can never run away from him. So we've got our heads and we've got our hearts. And then the next battle for me has been trust. Trust. Three together. Our head, God first. our hearts, and then trust. And I tell you, that's my first prayer every day, is to say, Lord, please teach me to trust you more every day. Don't wait till you're old to ask him to teach you to trust. No one else is going to teach you to trust him. You can read all the books you like, but that ain't going to teach you to trust someone. You've got to get to know the person if you're going to trust him. And I didn't know the person of God. I knew about God. I've been told about God all my life, but no one ever took my hand and said, meet Jesus, meet God. And I'm running out of time on this earth. But Dazzler told me the other day that he had to talk to God, and he said, God, get your eyes off Watto and I. We've got some work that we've got to do. We've got to make up a lot of time, and we're going to tell a lot of men about you. That's the love that this man's got towards the Lord. And I couldn't believe he said that prayer to God. He said, get your hands off Watto and me. You're not taking us yet, because we've got a lot to do for you. That's what the man said 3 years ago. He wasn't in this place. He's inspirational. Why? Because he puts God first. And he's got heart. And he's teaching me trust. There's another little bloke that was coming here this weekend, and the deceivers robbed him. Little Frankie Doolan, Riverbank Frank from Dubbo. All you Dubbo blokes, put your hands up. You know Riverbank Frank, don't you? Little Aboriginal man who lives on the riverbank, sleeps on the side of the road. God put him in my life last year to show me the love of Jesus and the grace of God. He's a quiet little man. And God loves that man so much, he showed me how to love more from my heart. And don't be conned, any of you young blokes. Don't be conned. Don't be conned by the world, because it's number one God. Learn to love him. And you can't love men, you can't love in your head. You can't get the guts of loving another male in your head if you don't let God do a job in your heart. And he promises you the new heart. Okay, so that's three things. Okay, we could go to tea now. But there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things that stuff us up and stuff me up. And the battle is the battle. But it's how you handle a battle that counts. The next thing for me was, if I've got the trust in God that I'm growing in, and don't wait till you hit a big hard place before you say, Lord, please teach me to trust you. Don't wait. Get to know him first. I've got a mate, Lloydy. Everyone knows my mate, Lloydy, 45 years, 50 years, right? I didn't realise, but that's how God showed me how to trust someone. You're mates with someone for 45 years, you just trust each other. There's no question. I never put 45 years into trusting God. I was still arguing what we're doing in this church isn't what the tradition and stuff that does not count. God did not make the stuff. We make the stuff. And stuff gets us out of the road of knowing him. Got it? Okay, the next thing for me was, I need a mother and father, so all goes well with you. You go anywhere in Australia, most of the experts, PJ will tell you this, most of our problems come because stuff that we haven't dealt with our mothers and fathers. Whether it's right or wrong, whether it's just or otherwise, whether we've had a bad deal, the facts are, if we don't deal with it, it's going to come back to bite us. My sister, she told me that once you've been born again and you're raised from under the water, it's all over and done with. That's not how God's dealt with me, and I respect my sister. My journey with God has been deep pain and got blood and guts. And every time he puts something up to me, he says, come on, Watto, I want you to take on this now and let it go and deal with it. And bit by bit, he keeps bashing me up and sorting me out and giving me more of his spirit so I can have more freedom with him. Now, the freedom that I have in Jesus is that he died to set me free. You got it? I believe in God. I love God now. And that's an obedience thing. But where do I take the step of freedom? Because Jesus. Are we all on the same path there? Okay, so any hang-ups that we have here tonight, Jesus, the love of Jesus, the grace of God, take the step. He's given us a free will. If you want to go home in the same state, in the same pity party, go it. And you get to be like Melbourne, you never win a game. Why would you ever call yourself the Demons Football Club? Spared income. No wonder why they can't win a game. I'd change the name. I wouldn't support the Demons. Sadly, I don't do it. That might sound stupid, But I don't. Okay, so we've got the mother and father thing is really big. There's a lot of blokes being dealt some pretty rough stuff with not being able to honour mothers, just like fathers. Don't worry about that. We've got plenty of good brains around here. You don't need, again, wherever I go, I don't mind. If you need an altar call, we'll get the trumpets playing and you can come out the front. We'll have catches out here. We'll do all the traditional church stuff with all the denominations if it makes you feel good. Don't worry me in the slightest. It's between you and God. And Jesus gives you the freedom from anything that's going to get in your road. I don't criticize anyone for doing anything in the name of Jesus in the churches, because I don't know, when I get to heaven, I'll ask him which is the right way. And he'll say, don't worry, just follow, ask me just to follow Jesus. Okay, so we want to get rid of bitterness, unforgiveness, judgmentalness. That was my battle. And anger. Am I the only bloke in this room that's had to deal with, in my life, unwarranted anger in my life? I had a few curveballs sent at me that I didn't deserve, and I looked for everyone to tell me what to do and how to get over it. I never went straight to the big fella, number one, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, and take the freedom step of Jesus to get free of it. Pity party. So that's anger, bitterness, judgmental, all that sort of stuff. Have a think. Just have a think, fellas. Where are you? Where are you now? Scott could be angry, couldn't he? He's lost his job. You feel like running over that bloke that you work for? A bloke got me for $3,500 in my early business day. I felt like running over him. I hated my mother, my stepmother. I hated her. I felt like killing her. Was I wrong? It's just how it was. My stepmother, she's 86 today and she loves me. I kiss her and I love her. How could I be healed of that? Freedom. Freedom in Jesus. Nothing, no rocket science involved in that one. Just the fact of someone taking the time to invest into me, to show me all the things, all the hang-ups that I've had. Now, these are the things that I regularly come across, all the men that we meet, all the sheds we go to, all the wonderful stories that are shared up the front. They all come back to those same things. But whatever the problems are, if we don't go back to number one, all the good programs the church runs, all the good counselling and all those good things, if we don't come back to number one, put the Lord first in all we do, open our hearts, free will, trust God, and then just watch what he wants to do in our lives. Mental illness, all these mental depressions and all that sort of stuff. Anyone here have anxiety? I don't think there'd be a bloke in the room that sometime or other we wouldn't have some anxious moments. Well, I didn't know what anxiety was growing up. I just thought, well, you don't sleep or whatever you do, you worry yourself sick about that. That's normal for all blokes. What about, and there's plenty of commands in the Bible for all these things, don't you? You can get them all out. You can know all those words in the Bible. You can come out here and you can have a text for everyone. Doesn't matter if you don't go back to the first one and you don't open and trust and be free in Jesus, you still hang on. Why are so many of our people so sad and downcast in the churches? Why have we got so many people that go to church with faces like it's funerals? When passion and emotion and loving, to me, is woo, 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 woo. Did anyone watch Melbourne beat the Bombers the other week? What? But I mean, the last, when the game's over and you actually watch, did anyone actually watch through how the players in Melbourne carried on? They only won their first game for about 100 years, but, right? This is important. This is important because those Melbourne blokes couldn't hang back. Did you see that coach standing on the sideline? And they're like, there was only about 10 seconds to go and he's saying, keep it down, keep it down. To the bloke on the bench, and the player's just about having fit, because we're going to win a game, and he's going, keep it down. Like that coach, he wouldn't have had much sleep in the whole season, would he? And he's a no-name coach, and he's, keep it down. What a load of garbage. Keep it down. Go off your brain like it's going on in here. Why is that coach still locking himself up? So the whistle goes, and they all go absolutely crazy, those blokes. go crazy. You think I go crazy? Mate, they were going crazier than crazy. And they even kissed each other. Demons kissing each other. How dumb is that? And then did anyone see Brisbane beat West Coast Eagles the other day? See that? I tell you, always make sure you watch at the end of every game of sport and watch the faces and emotions of the competitors, the coaches. Study our fellow men. It tells you lots of things about us. Okay, Brisbane. I didn't go to the game. it's probably cost me about $3,500 for all these tickets I buy every year to go to the football, and Lloydie talked me out of going because it was raining. So I'm sitting in the lounge, I'm getting all excited, I'm yelling and squeaking and carrying on, and Brisbane, we're winning. And you know, there's this little no-name bloke called Green, and he's got red hair. He's only about a jockey size. Anyone know what I'm talking about? No name, but I know his name now. He stood up to the bar. He was a substitute. He only got on in the last quarter. Just think what he felt like on that sitting on the bench. Has anyone ever sat in a bench? What's the worst place in a football team to sit in a bench? Anyone ever want to be picked as reserve in a team? Garbage. Anyone ever want to play sport for no, don't keep the score? What a lot of rubbish. No, we go and watch our grandkids play now. Oh, you're not allowed to keep score. What a load of garbage. Which bloke doesn't want to win a game? So little Greeny kicks 3 goals in the last quarter. But there's more. Within the last few moments of the game, and the game's still there, Greeny puts his head over the ball right in front of goal. Goals are here. And he gets taken right in the face. And those umpires, there's 3 of them on the field, and they say, play on. And he just about gets his head taken off. No kick. Any other time of the game would have been a kick. So we win the game. And the Brisbane blokes are going crazy. But the bloke who was the substitute, who had to go off, he would have been feeling pretty crappy, wouldn't he? You know, no one wants to get subbed off in the game, especially if it's a good game. How does that sub feel today? Oh, I got taken off at 3-quarter time, and the bloke who went out kicked the 3 goals. But I watched him. He actually ran out on the ground, and he ran over, and he did this. He kissed Greeny. He kissed this. He actually kissed him, and I watched him. And it was a magical moment, because again, they're the moments that those blokes cannot hold the hearts shut. They can't do that in their head. You don't run out after the game and go, I've got it all together. Right? Like, come on. Now there's another one. Look, we Aussie blokes, God's made us special and we're different. We're a bit shy, always, but that's okay. That doesn't mean we're wussy. We're shy. That's okay. He knows. He knows our hearts. He knows our agendas. And he knows when we're not real sure about him. He knows when we don't trust him. And he wants us. He's given us a free will. He's given us emotion, passion. Fellas, how are you going to love your women? Who in this room has been loving a woman for 37 years with a head? With your head. This head, not this head. This is serious. This is serious. We were at Para Vista not long ago, just down before the bush shed. And I can tell this story. This dear old man called Jürgen Lehmann. Anyone know him? 72 years of age. Jürgen was there. Jürgen was just one of the volunteers. He was in the kitchen. He was only helping out in the kitchen. And we had 125 blokes there, and we had a bit of a talk. We talked about the hearts. And afterwards, he came up to me, and he said, could I buy a hat, a shed hat and a shirt? And I'm going, I'm stuffed. And I'm thinking, what's he want to buy, a shed hat and a shirt? I haven't got a pencil. I don't want to write his name down. And this dear man said, could I buy a shirt? I'm like, okay. And it turned out he lived a few doors up from Mike Flynn, he and his wife. They were there when Para Vista they turned the soil. 44 years he's been in that church. He's been married to his wife for 37 years. He's got a son in Cairns, 43. I can tell you the story. This is what it's all about, fellas. And this man, I said to him, did you have a moment? Did you have a moment with God tonight? And I'm going to ask you, Blake, for the rest of the night, not what you think of Watto. I couldn't care less now what you think of Watto. I want to give every single drop I've got to the glory of God. I've run out of time. I can't have any time to stuff around. You got it, you young blokes? When I was your age up there in the good-looking section, my ego was so big it wasn't funny. No more. Now, Jürgen said, yes. Pardon me, but he's the German. And I'll try to do it a bit. Actually, he said, yes. He's a very serious man. He said, yes. It took me 10 minutes to listen to you. I haven't heard anyone talk about God like you before, because he goes to church and he hears a sensible sermon. And I said, what is your moment? He said, my heart. You know, that man had told me about, he hasn't got a good relationship with his 43-year-old son. But you know, he lived a few doors up from Mike. And I said, could you bring down your details and your size for the shirt? Because I'm going to have to go to all the trouble of sending a darn shirt all the way down there. Make it excuses. He came down the next day with a smile on his face. Then he told us his story, that when he was a little boy, he was in a family of five. And there'll be some men here who will relate to this story. His mother and five children were escaping in the war in Germany. Dad, no food. They had no food, they had nothing. The father had been shot off to war somewhere, and the kids had to fight for a crumb. And the mother would say, go to sleep so you don't think about eating. This is a man who loves God. He's loved God. He's obeyed God. Everything in his head. His father was very hard, very, 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 very hard on him, and he transferred that very, very hard part to his son that he loves so much in his head. And I said, write your son a letter. If God's done something to your heart, write a letter to your son from your heart and tell him how you feel. Tell him you're sorry. He told me the other day that he wrote a 12-page letter to his son. He's getting on better. He can talk to his son on the phone. The last bit of this little story is, we've got one of the boys, Stevie Purcell, helped start the Anley Shed Night, spent 12 years in jail, got a degree in theology while he was in there, so he knows more about the Bible than all us bullfeds put together. But he's putting it to use now. He's a wonderful man. He's had to go to Cairns. And he said, is there a shed up in Cairns? And I said, yeah, I think the Lutheran boys have got one up there. Trevor Ruthenberg's father, Don. I said, I'll get the phone number for you. And I thought, oh, Jürgen's son's up in Cairns. I rang Jürgen and I said, you know, I've got a young bloke up there going to Cairns. Would you like me to see if I can hook him up with your son? And he said, oh, that'd be wonderful. So I did. I got the text message here. I got it in there. Stevie Purcell met Richard, Jürgen's son. They got on like wildfire. Richard knows about Watto, he knows about the shed, because his dad told him in the letter. Richard's going to go to the shed night with Stevie Purcell and the Lutheran boys up there. He said, there's enough blokes up here to have a good shed night. See what God's doing in us. And Jürgen's wife, Ray, we were all sitting around the table there having a joyful time, and this man's laughing and smiling. It's like his heart has come alive. And I said, where's your wife? Go and get her. And she came down and she came in the house, and she was beaming and crying and laughing. And she said, it's been worth waiting for. Whose wife is waiting for a husband to let go with their heart and love them with their heart? You're never too old to love your woman and your kids with your heart. And you're never too old to write them a letter and say you're sorry and tell them that God's given you a transformed heart. And get on and fix it up and live life gloriously in freedom that Jesus gives us. Got it? Okay. So we're down, we get down to the few more things that are burdens, have been burdens to me. And they might come up for you, Huey. They might come up for you, Charlie. They giving and listening. Two areas that I had to learn. I do a lot of talking, but I also listen. People think I only talk, but you can learn to listen. When your heart is open and you're free and you can trust God and you get sorted out, you're not holding grudges against your father or your mother, or you're not holding anger inside you and ripping you apart, or you're not being in an unforgiving way, or you're being judgmental or something like that, you can listen and you can hear. And God can put angels across your life in the form of humans that change your whole life. You can be looking, Bevan, where are you? You can be looking to wonder where the new directions are going to come in your life, how it's going to be or what's going to do. The world will not give you the answer. You put that number one first, and number two and number three, and you trust in the Lord, and you, God's ways and thoughts are bigger and better than yours. You have the guts and courage to sit down and listen to him, and don't move until you hear where he wants to take you. And if it's right, it'll keep going. But if it's not God's way, he'll put a brick wall in front of you and you can get on with the next part. Got it? Now, I know what I'm talking about because these are things that I've had to go. The world didn't teach me any of these things. Giving is not all about money. That's another thing that screws us up. I said before, put your hand up if you're borrowing money. We're all screwed up with money and money and money and money. I'm telling you, and I'll be any bloke my age here, do we need any money, fellas, at our age when you get over 65? We couldn't care less about money. We need a pair of jeans, we need a few t-shirts, we need a few jocks, and I guarantee you most of the old blokes will be happier giving the money to someone who needs it. There's a time in our life, men, when money rips us up and stuffs us up because we don't go to God with what he wants us to do in the giving. Now, it's not about money. Giving is giving. Selwyn just had a little exercise here in Flaming Giving. Get your flaming eyes off yourself, Selwyn, you big sook, and invest it into God's people. You got it? You were here a year ago. God gave you freedom. Don't sook around. You've had a rough time, right? You've burned a marriage. You've got a beautiful girl up the road there. You know, get on with God. Get number one, number two, number three. Invest into this bloke. And the more you invest into someone else, the more your life's going to come good. It's not about money, it's about time. Is that right, you blokes who know me and put up with all the time? You know, these are the areas. They're not very fashionable in some of the church denomination. This isn't froth and bubble and bells and whistles here. This is reality in Jesus. You got it? Jesus is a man. He got his feet dirty. He went around. He just said, follow me. Follow me. Didn't he do that? Who wants to follow him now, fair income? Who wants to follow him, fair income? Got it? Come on. Who wants to follow him? Don't say yes unless you're ready to frame and put the big fella first. And get, if you have to lock yourself in the room, young blokes or old blokes, lock yourself in. Get there and don't come out until you know that you've asked God to show you that he's for real in your life. Don't worry about anyone else. Don't worry about all the super spiros around the place that make you maybe feel insecure at times. Get and ask yourself. Ask him yourself for your own relationship with him because he's got us all on a different journey in a different place. You got that? Okay, I better have a drink of water. The last time I went somewhere, Timmy Nagel's son Matthew came with us. I would have thought Huey would have done that, but I think he's asleep here in the front row. Matthew got up and said, you better shut up and have a drink of water. Your face is going to blow up. Keep your eye on me, Huey. But I did say, if I'm going to drop dead here tonight with a heart attack, God's the only one going to be doing it because he blew the breath into me at the start. Get this, fellas. He blew the breath into me, and I ain't going anywhere till he takes me. You got it? Nothing's going to take me off the face of this earth. He takes me. He takes me home when he's got the next part for me. So where are you blokes that have got any battles? Where's that good man who wore the champion shirts at PJ, prop PJ up? Hey, you did a pretty good job propping him up. Now he's important around the place. Where is he? Where's our champion bloke? Ricky, where are you, Ricky? You did a good job, PJ. Have a look at him. He's got the big websites and all that sort of stuff. You made him. But you know what? Anyone else here on a cancer agenda? Does anyone here know what that bloke's going through? Does anyone know the battle that man's going through? Does anyone know what it really means for him to know that his wife's going to give life? Talk about a champion. Ask him if you want to know about trusting God. Hey, Rick. It's you and God, isn't it? No one else. No matter what they say or how they sing the songs. When you're lying in the hospital for that 3 weeks that you thought there was nothing going to happen, could you say the right prayers? Could you sing the right songs? Could you do anything but groan? Did it matter to God? He still loves you. The love of Jesus, the grace of God. That's it. The breath goes into you from him, and the only way you're going off the face of this earth is when he takes you. And the same with anyone else. Okay, so we've got the listening and the giving. If there's any of these areas that are in any way holding you back, please consider your free will that God gave you. Consider whether you want to take home and get into the pity party and run and find another church to find someone to tell you, oh yes, we'll look after you this week. Same old, same old. No good! This same old stuff is not on. God is moving in the lives of men in Australia. And if anyone has any doubts with that, come with me for a week or two. These boys are my witness. Wherever I go, this, what's going on here, is going on all over Australia. It's under the radar. That's what Aussie blokes are like. We've got to get ourselves right. We've got to get in place so we can, God can teach us to trust him more. And we can know more about the love of his son, Jesus, so we can get on with life. God, I told you yesterday, God loves football. Ted Prenzler, my favourite pastor, always used to, Ian, you spend too much time in the football. But I know football. God teaches me about him through football stories. I know some people hate football. I do like Collingwood too, and I reckon Eddie Maguire would be a good Prime Minister of the country. I'm deadly serious. Where's Keith? Where's me mate Keith? Fancy a Carlton supporter honouring the Collingwood boys. But, you know, here again, Eddie Maguire, let's just track back. Where was Collingwood when he moved into the top job? Where are they now? Is Eddie a true leader? Yes. Why do we constantly knock our true leaders? When we are leaderless, we still knock them, but when we really do get someone who stands out and is a leader, we don't promote them. We're crazy. But we are God's men now. We are champion sons of the King. We're not doing that stuff anymore. We're not knocking anyone. We're loving those Collingwood supporters, even though we want to beat them. Okay, just a couple more things. So let's quickly go again. Number one, no question. Big gap to number two. To be there with him, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Anyone waking up to the heart? You can get the transformation tonight. No problem at all. You can even get it before you walk out this door. You just have a little talk with him now, and you just see whether he's for real. Number three is trust. And then we can sort out the mothers and fathers. And just think, you don't just do these things. They don't just happen. The unforgiveness, the judgments and all these things. You don't just say, forgive. You might have to go a lot of journeys. You might have to go a lot of layers. You might have to spend a lot of time with the Father in the freedom of Jesus to help you let go of the crap, unforgiveness. We learnt listening. Listen so you don't miss out on his gems. Words, powerful words and dreams. Giving was the other one. Powerful words and dreams. I brought up the Collingwood thing here just then because I'm a very sensitive Carlton supporter. I was looking for some razor blades the other day after, and my brother here today, like, he had to cop PJ ripping into him about the Pies. Now, that's Aussie. We all rubbish each other and whatever. But it doesn't empower us. Like, if it's something sensitive, if I went and said something about Jane to you or Julie, you'd want to get up and smash me, wouldn't you? Well, if you didn't get up, want to get up and smash me, I'd say, what's going on? So what are you doing?
Do I love you or don't I?
Well, are you stepping up the plate? So the word thing is so, so important to each other. Practice it before you go home. Encouragement. The proverb, don't hold back encouragement when it's in your power to do so. Don't hold back encouragement when you can let it go. How simple is that? Why don't we encourage each other with words? Every success I've got in my life is because someone that really meant something to me encouraged me with a couple of powerful words. Do you know my inspiration to write my book came from Andrew B double Finney Moore. Yeah, I know, Andrew. You know, how do you think I felt after 2 years I'd been down there? I'd been working my guts out, studying and saying, God, what do I do? And he came up to me up there in the kitchen and he said, Watto, I've been listening to... How's the accent? Watto, I've been... This is the New South Wales accent. Watto, I hate you, Queenslanders. We'll beat your neck. No. He said, Watto, I've been listening to you for 2 years and you finally said something worth hearing. And I went... What was that, Andrew? And he said, I haven't seen a bloke go backwards with encouragement. I said, tell me again, what did I say? What did I say? True. And he said, you said, I haven't seen a bloke go backwards with encouragement. I went, oh, Andrew, I better write that down. And I wrote it down. I didn't even know I said it. So I actually put it at the start of the little introduction of my book. I said, this bloke encouraged me, told me I said something worthwhile. Look, it's that easy, right? It's not trying to be a big hero. It's just looking around. Now, don't you feel good when this bloke's in the front, right? If you've been here for 4 years, if you're George here, there's a security thing there. Isn't there? Am I right? Am I just padding him up?
No, you're all right.
Am I all right? Do you want to hear, is that an empowering word I've just given you? You see how hard it was? All I had to do was, from my heart, say something that's in here. Where's Daryl? Daryl works his absolute guts out on the website for me. If you put up with the stuff I send him, the texts and whatever, and you know, he's never ever made me feel in a way where I can't just freely ring him up and say, can you put that on the website? Can you do that? Because I it's hard work for me. See? Is that empowering?
Empowering.
Encouraging. Okay. I better watch the time. We've got to eat. And we've got to, more importantly, we've got to come back to number one. So those empowering words, my whole success, my business, everything has come because a couple of people at the right time of my life, God put these people, and they're definitely angels. They're the Hebrew people of careful how you entertain the stranger. You never know when God's going to put put a stranger in your life, you young fellas. Hear that. And older fellas. You know, I was in my 30s when a bloke came and God used him to give me the opportunity to start my driver training business 25 years ago, and I can ring him up now, Donnie Lewis. He loves the Sydney Swans. He's now 82. That man rings me every week for a footy talk, and his last words to me is, and I don't know where he is with God, but God used him. Don't dare limit God. Don't dare put a... You know, every time he finishes the phone call, he always says, look after yourself, Watto. Look after yourself. And that touches my heart every time. So, words, dreams, dreams. Where's Ian? Where's Ian Turner? Sitting up the back. Come on, run up the phone here quickly. Come on, run up here. This man, I'll hurry on now. This man, Ian Turner, we've got a good name, haven't we, Ian?
Yeah.
When he was younger, he had some disempowering nicknames put upon him, so he chose a nickname to outdo them. And he gave himself this nickname of?
Scarecrow.
That got him out of the problem of those that were around you wanting to make out that you're lesser and whatever. Today I said, you've got a good name, that's Ian. He called himself Crowy, and that sounds all right, that's pretty friendly, isn't it? Scarecrow, I said, no, no. I said, maybe this camp is the time to have a talk to God and ask him for either you to use your name and who you are or an empowering nickname. Self-imposed name to keep himself down, right? He's a champion son of the king, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? I asked this man, what was your dream? And first of all, it was like, I know. Right? Didn't want to even talk about it, did you? What's your dream? You tell me what your two dreams are. When you were a little boy, what did you want? What was your dream?
To be an astronaut.
To be an astronaut, one. And two?
To be a dad.
To be a dad. Are you a dad?
No.
Have you got a girlfriend?
No.
No. Okay. You shrugged it off like it would never happen, didn't you?
Yeah.
Okay. You see what I mean? What do you think God wants for this man with a dream?
The desires of his heart.
Huh?
God wants the desires of his heart.
Okay. We are cruel to each other. We can hurt men because we don't feel very good about ourselves, so we disempower them. Okay? This man is to be empowered. He's to be able to dream his dream, and he needs to be encouraged to call himself his true name. Would you like to yell your name out as a champion son of the king now? Look them all in the eye and say, I'll do mine first because I've got a longer name. I am Ian Frederick Hamilton Watson and I am a champion son of the king. Do you want to do that for you?
I am Ian James Turner and I am a champion son of the king. Yeah.
Thank you. See, God's sense of humour with Aussie men is not about one person. It's not about Watto. It's not about Shoffy. It's not about Sel and whatever. If you have a look at the true ministry of Men Australia, it's team men. You blokes know the blokes that need to go over and have a bit of a knock around with that bloke. You know? And like last night, Ian, in all good intention, said, come on, fellas, pray aloud while we sing this Jesus Loves Me song. No one did it. He probably felt like a bit of a monkey because it didn't happen. But the hearts of Aussie men were too shy. Doesn't mean we're not, you know, like, I didn't have a problem. I don't have a problem with that. But that's, like here in this room, I don't know that every bloke here knows God, believes in God, baptised, which way? Adult immersion, or I don't know. God said, don't presume anything with anyone. Just love each other. That's why I constantly say to Aussie men, pray with your eyes open. Pray with your eyes open. Who told me? Timmy Nagorka said he's having a good walk with his beautiful Julie in the morning, but he's having trouble praying with God. I said, well, just start talking to God while she's walking along. Lord, thank you for my beautiful Julie. Amen. Full stop. Got it? It's not rocket science. But look, for me, it was hard for me to pray publicly with anybody or anything. It was hard for me to pray for my beautiful wife. She studies the Word of God. She's like PJ's girl, Margaret. No worries about her. I'll talk about her a bit tomorrow night. But I felt a bit shy like the rest of us. So here today, that's the only reason why we didn't do it. We're all shy. It's not we, right? Doesn't mean stop and don't try again.
Oh, heck no, they did pretty well this morning.
Right? But I mean, if I don't openly talk about that, then we're not being open. And Aussie men, we need the open down the line, no strings attached, no hairy fairy stuff. Call it as it is. That man needs encouragement. He's no more going to be called that name, that nickname that holds him back and holds him down. And his job is a taxi driver. And I said, I'm a truck driver. You look in the paper when they put the list of who's who. Where's the truck driver and the taxi driver? Down the bottom. How do you... Good. Thanks to truck... Thanks to God and trucks, I live on a unit looking out over the Morton Island, mate. I've got $1 million thanks to the trucks. No, but this is how easy it is to hurt each other. Okay, so we've got dreams and we've got empowering words. Okay, we've just got a little bit more to go, and that is in the area that PJ's really helping us with, and that is the sex, the intimacy. But before we get to that, the other part that's really hurt us is the nurture and the directional love. Hard love, soft love. All my life, it was my father telling me, toughen up, boy. The balance. I didn't even know what balance meant in nurture. You know, why did I kiss this bloke?
Got me, dude. Oh, he's all right, don't worry about it.
It's... It is. But in passion and emotion and feeling, why wait till you win a grand final and have to go up and kiss someone who's subbed you and got their head knocked? You know, like, don't hold back with this business of nurture and direction. You've got to call a I think I called a feeding them hard shot on you. Stone took her in, got a beautiful girl up there, and you won't even let any of these beautiful young blokes blame and want to marry her.
You're bloody right.
You should be able to handpick your son-in-law. You've got the open go.
I intend but, to, mate, don't worry.
Good. But if you, in the directional, if that directional comes from your heart, you're not going to hurt anyone. Anyone who's given me a fair dinkum serve from their heart, made it rocket you to the moon. But if you want to kill someone, give them a hard word from your head and just drop them. Just drop them. And we're very good at dropping people, aren't we? Okay, so there are areas. And there's plenty of blokes here, I know. We're all struggling. I'm a work in progress, but I'm going to be good to the last drop, and I'm ready for any change that God wants to put on me and to get me up, and it could come through any of you blokes, and whether someone's going to pray with me or to me or someone gives me a word, that doesn't matter. I'm open. I don't want to muck around any longer in my life. And the last one is PJ's on it, and we'll keep going, but I'm the same. You young blokes, if you want to think you're going to have the ultimate in your sexual life with the woman that God's got for you, you get number one first, you get number two, you get number three, you get all those things sorted out. You get yourself a godly woman. And if you and your wife love the Lord, we get on to that number one again, we get on to number two, and we get all that, then you will have an absolute glorious, what God's got in the true gift of love and intimacy that the world does not teach us, and we have failed to pass on to each other. But that's not going to happen anymore. While PJ and I've got breath in our body, and a lot of other blokes here too, we're not going to let you young blokes live a lie and think that you're going to take your future into your life and try and get to find someone as good as your mother by learning lust of the world. In all the places we go, Johnny Anderson, you've been on the other side of love and lust. After 7 years, you're my wonderful mate. You want to be loved by a woman, and you want to love a woman God's way, don't you? You heard this champion man last year, Chris, talk about how sexual addiction. A lot of blokes laughed about it, but this man was plagued by it. He was conditioned through the army and things like that, the navy, and every port. God's done a job on him. Chris has given like his free will. Tomorrow night, maybe Chris can tell you this last year of his journey. Chris never wants to have anything to do with lust. He wants to love God's way. And for anyone having trouble with porn, if I can have a good friendship with Lordy for 45 or 50 years and trust him with everything, all right, I wouldn't let Lordy down, he wouldn't let me down. How would it be if I loved God for 45 or 50 years? Do you think I'd want to be into porn? Do you think I'd want to go down the road or do something wrong sexually against the woman that God's given me that's magnificent? No. Where do we go back to, fellas? Number one. So anyone here that doesn't, you don't need to put your hands or anything like that. Anyone that's got any doubts about God, don't feel bad. You're at a place in your life. A lot of us at times would have questioned whether God was for real. Simple. If you've got any doubts, ask him. Show me that you're for real in my life, Lord. Is what a phony or what? Are you for real? Show me in my life so I know. Please show me. Show me, Lord. Show me, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I've run out of flukes. I've run out of good lucks. It's not by chance. I'm here by destiny. And you start to go and think, there's more to life than me. Got it? Okay. It's 10 past now. I think it's now tea time, is it? Or what? What are we doing? What time?
6:45.
Okay, we'll keep going. Anyone asleep yet? Okay. Thank you, Dale, very much. Because last year we had a magnificent opportunity to deal with some the sexual stuff. Thanks, champion. How good was that? Like, look at this little sticker on there, thanks to Huey, this little shed. We got him. Okay. Let's just roll through them. If you're going to get to that last one, the sexual, and you're going to have any skeletons, what-o, Jono, Chris O, if you're going to have any skeletons, you're no good to Jay. Jono, if you've got any skeletons sexually, you're no good to Trish. You and God. Freedom in Jesus. If you want to stay in the same old, stay there. God gave you the free will. That's for you, any of you blokes there, because PJ's talked about it yesterday, about the spiritual connectedness of your sexual. That's big deal. Okay, we've got enough fun. We've got some time. We're not going to waste it. Firstly, if you've got any problems with those first three, God first, your heart, if you need transformation of your heart to any degree and you're having trouble trusting God, stand up. Just stand up. No ifs, buts or maybes. If you've got any trouble with any of those three, if you've got doubts about whether God's for real, if you've got doubts about your trust, or if you've got issues with your heart, if you're sitting down and you're absolutely free in your heart and you know that you give your absolute heart, love passionately God with your heart, and you also love your, if you've got a girlfriend or if you've got a wife, and you're not loving your wife from the absolute bottom of your heart with passion, emotion, you get up on the floor because you are robbing yourself from her getting back to coming to your heart. You will not get the true love of your wife. If you are holding back in your heart and you think you're going to love your wife with your head and she's going to come into your heart, that's not how it goes. Okay. So that's the three. Just bow your heads. Just quietly talk to God, or you can do it as Johnny said. I don't care. If you want to mumble it, you mumble out what is holding you back, to what degree, whatever it is, you mumble it out to yourself now. Now, if there's anyone here that really would like to come over here near the musos and get one of our brothers, our prayer men, to just stand with you and have a prayer, come out. Don't pussyfoot around. It's too big. It's too big, I'm telling you. If you want true love and you really want to know what God's got for you, just stand over there, and the boys who are the prayer boys, just come over there with them, and don't go into a whole lot of super spiritual stuff. God knows right now what he wants to do with each one of us here tonight. And just go over, confess your sins one to another so you are healed. Get healing. Don't pussyfoot around. If you need someone to pray for you, confess your weakness. Now, if you're angry, if you've got bitterness, you've got judgmentalness, you've got unforgiveness there. As I said, some of these things take longer and longer. But if you've got something that's holding you back there, come out the front again and someone else will pray for you. Daryl, you can pray. Any of you blokes who are sitting down, get off your bottoms and get over here and pray. God will give you the prayers. It's the love of Jesus and the grace of God. Don't get all hairy-fairy about it. Just get and pray for these boys. Okay, so just go down a little bit further. So we're down to anger, unforgiveness, and bitterness, and any of those sort of things. Get cleaned out. Confess your sins one to another so you'll be healed. Right? Okay. Anyone that's blanked out the dreams in their life, anyone who's been smashed by words, calling you useless dickheads and hopeless and all those things. Michael, pray for that man beside you there. Let him confess what's been ripping him down. And if he needs a couple of brothers with him, get with him, you Chiang Mai boys. Righto, any degree of any of this stuff, any of you blokes have been just hard-hearted so-and-so fathers that haven't given your sons a cuddle or your daughters a cuddle and put them on your knees. Any of you fathers that haven't told your kids that you've loved them publicly, like to their face, any of yous, stand up now. Come on, this is big deal. If Jorgen can be healed at 72 to be able to write his son a letter and get some freedom, then why are we flaming holding back? You've got eight children on the road. And you need help to be able to tell your kids publicly you love them. Is that right? Okay, help that man. Pray for that man now. Sit down there, mate, and let those boys pray for you. It's the love of Jesus and the grace of God. Because when you come here, like after dinner tonight, those who haven't seen the movie Courageous, do see it. And then anyone who wants to do some one-on-ones, some shed talks, come on down wherever the room is. It'll be not in the road of the others. Because that's another opportunity for us to confess our sins one to another by way of talking to another bloke. And any of you blokes who want to learn to listen can come and have a listen to the blokes there. Okay, is there any bloke sitting there now that's, please do not avoid this opportunity. You know, there's plenty of pastors here, there's plenty of prayers here. If you need someone to pray for you now, just get out on the outside wall and one of you boys who are the prayer blokes, just go over and pray with the bloke now so we can go up to dinner. New creations. Huh? And is there anyone here not had a transformation of their heart, what I'm talking about? Anyone here in the last 12 months that truly have had a heart transformation, turned around, that actually have the love? Stand up. Okay, now I talk a lot, but you just very quickly tell the boys about your heart, the difference between last year and this year.
Well, I was having a problem, and I confessed it to another person here, and it really, it gave me a lot more freedom to love my wife just so much more.
And does your wife appreciate who you are?
Oh, yes.
Okay, that's the main thing. Good on you, mate.
It was a wonderful transformation. I know I do have a speech problem, but...
Sound all right to me. Anyone else got a problem with his speech?
But God has really blessed me, and he just continues to bless us every day.
And you can't go back to the old hard heart?
Oh, no okay, way.
That's it.
And this man here has...
Kevin's our chief barbecue man in the Wallace Shed. Every Monday we have a shed once a month. He is there and he is the chief cook. We've never had badly cooked meat, so it's been fantastic, Kevin. He's a real shining light.
Shoffy, how's
shed.
Your heart?
Look,
thanks,
I'm
Kevin. Just sit down there. Come on, spill your heart.
Look, I'm a work in progress, but look, I've been amazed at how God's love compels me to love him back. And for me, it's this simple. God loved me first. When I got it, when I get that, I love him back. And that empowers me to love those around me. And like when my wife is my biggest enemy sometimes... because I'm a hard person to live with as well, that's where God's love does it for me. So whatever motivation you might hear at this camp, the biggest thing I hear in the good book is that God did it for me first. He loves me. Now you just got to rest in that. If it means taking time out or whatever it means to actually put yourself in a position where you can receive God's love, because I know my problem is I don't know it. When I get a little glimpse of it, it's like, wow, well, I don't need anything else.
Good, so, mate. Yeah. Come on, Wayne, how's your heart now? You reckon you're a bit wussy. What are you doing now? You shaped up?
Absolutely. God's done a deal on me and in many ways. I think for me in my relationship, one of the significant moments has been
to
give thanks for my wife. We went to Easterfest and did Shed at Easterfest, and I got up there a bit sooky. I wanted my wife to go up with me on the Friday, and she said no. And I thought, geez, you know, you could support me a bit. Wouldn't hurt you. Wouldn't kill you. So I pity-partied myself a bit, and one of my mates, Lars and Lenore, they were going up, and they said, oh, we'll bring Julie home, no worries. She'll be right, like, you know, and she wouldn't go. So I sit up there, and I'm driving up by myself, up to Toowoomba from Brisbane, and I'm chucking myself a real wobbly, and I get up there and I meet these guys up there, and I'm still getting a bit sooky, and we go out for dinner, and I'm sitting there across the table from a lady that I never met before, and I'm still whinging like a baby, and she said, yeah, you pray for your wife? I said, yeah, of course I do. What sort of a bloke wouldn't pray for his wife? She said, you give thanks for your wife? I said, I'm thankful for my wife. She said, no, you're not listening to me. You're thankful for your wife. Do you give thanks for your wife, even when she gives you the shits? And I've learnt that. And fair dinkum, God's done a dead set deed on me. And we talked at dinner again the other night, and a bit more wisdom comes out. And Watto says to me, are you dying to your wife? Is there parts of your heart that you've hardened up over the years? And I've been divorced, and it's been pretty shitty, and I've been a bit of a mess, and I don't trust, and I've got all that crap. And on my dying to my heart, to my wife. I am now.
He'll answer that tomorrow night. Tim's had a really rough time. Just talk about your heart, your last 3 years of heart. Tim's had a battle, but this is the heart transformation we're talking about, this man.
He's a pretty hard act to follow, really, isn't he, eh? What can you say? Yeah, look, it's all about the heart. if there's anything that I can say, it's about how you feel in your heart. And it seems to me you're pedigree Lutheran and came up in a Lutheran community, and my father was a minister. But it's only been in the last 5 years, when things have been fairly tough in my life, that I've really understood and had a really good connection with the man upstairs through my heart. And that's where it all happens. It's through your heart. And if there's anything I can say to everybody, and I've spoken to a lot of people already, is that when you have a problem, you have to go and talk to somebody about it. Talk to somebody about it from your heart. And you can bet your bottom dollar that there's people out here that have been through or going through or have been through exactly the same thing that I have. Right? So don't let it fester and build up in your head. Let your heart do the talking.
So you're all right?
I'm all right.
Okay.
Well, I'm good.
He is. He's a champion. We'll talk more tomorrow.